The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Glenn Beck.
Welcome to Black Friday. Yes, it's the day for people who actually have the energy to get off their own couches and go out to stores and shop. People used to do these things. Did you know that? Did you know that?
Are there people that do that?
It's Stu with Jeffy here today for Glenn Beck. Apparently there are. I'm always amazed by this because, first of all, this is very difficult for me to do, which is getting out of my house today and coming in and doing a radio show when I could be sleeping and eating more leftovers. And I barely have the energy to do this. And this is a job where you just talk. Like, there's no heavy lifting. There's not a lot going on here. But I'm amazed by people who are able to do that. And if that's you, more power to you. Supporting the economy, all those things. Consumption, consumption, consumption. I believe in it. I'm supportive of it. And I think a lot of people would disagree with that. But there's a poll that came out. I really don't. I really think it's fantastic. And people always bash consumption. They always say that this time of year shouldn't be about the gifts. And I guess that there are other things, right? Certainly there are. There are other things other than stuffing your fat face and putting presents under the tree. There are other important things. But there's nothing wrong with presents. There's nothing wrong with the wonder of the Thanksgiving dinner. However, one of the things that comes around this kind of time of year, and it's popped its head up again, is the idea that stores are evil for opening on Thanksgiving. 57% of people say they are opposed to stores being open on Thanksgiving, getting Black Friday started early. Only 16% are in favor. Well, you know what? I am the 16%, okay? I like the fact that they're open on Thanksgiving. And I think that there's this thing where, we kind of look at this and politicians are now embracing this, trying to shut down stores. There's pressure groups assigned to pressure these, retail outlets to make sure that they're closed. The latest one, there's 70 big stores will be closed on Thanksgiving. There's a huge list of them, and everything from American Girl to Lowe's to Costco, Crate and Barrel, Dillard's. Now, of course, they were all closed yesterday, so you didn't need to go there. Now you can go there, and now you can spend your money 24 hours later, and apparently that's going to make everything better. But, if you're one of the people that look at this and say, this just sounds like an anti-capitalist argument, well, congratulations, you're right. Now, this argument comes almost exclusively from the left, although some people on the right kind of make it too. And you can tell it's BS because when is the last time the left defended traditional family values? When is the last time the left became so incredibly passionate about your Thanksgiving gathering because they just couldn't get enough of those good old family values? How common is that? Yes, sure, they just happen to be taking shots at capitalism. Sure, they just happen to be berating employers and small businesses around the country. Sure, they're doing that too, but the real motivation is they just love those mashed potatoes so much. They can't get enough of them. They can't get enough of a family dinner. The left is not suddenly for traditional values. This is just yet another argument against capitalism. And I think a lot of people would say, well, I don't want to go out and go shopping on Thanksgiving. I want to spend time with my family. Well, good for you. If that's you, good for you, right? But that does not mean that that is good for everybody. Individuals make the choice. Individuals get to make the choice. They get to decide, hey, you know what? My family happens to suck. And maybe I don't want to spend all day with them. Maybe I want to leave immediately and get to a store, and it better be open because I can't just drive around in circles the whole day.
But I will.
But I will if I have to. And, look, I happen to have a family I like, but a lot of people don't. A lot of people show up to Thanksgiving dinner and would love to have the excuse of, I've got to go to Lowe's. There's a bracket I need right now.
Some of us have family that say, isn't there something you could be doing?
Yes. There's nothing wrong with that either. We don't. This is the point. When you're a conservative, when you're a person who believes, who's an individualist, we don't make mass decisions for everybody. If a store wants to stay closed, well, fine, let them stay closed. If they want to open, let them open. You're not losing anything by allowing people to make decisions on their own. If you don't want to go shop, don't go and shop. And this is, of course, you know, typical progressivism here, where you're able to, you know, they're going to make decisions for you. Now, I think the argument goes, because that's too easy, right? Like they know they're going to lose that argument. So the argument goes, well, what we're doing is we're just protecting the worker. You see, what happens is someone goes gets a job at Lowe's, and they have to work, and therefore are, you know, forced to go to work when they don't want to. They can't spend time with their family because of these evil corporations.
Right. They want you to work.
Right. These evil profit seekers want to make sure, they want to force the average Joe to go work instead of having a turkey dinner at home. And again, it's clear by the way they talk about it that it reveals it's just a shot against capitalism, right? I mean, like, yes. These evil corporations, this is the same standard crap you hear about the minimum wage and the corporate income tax and every other, they want to cut regulations. Well, what about the average Joe who's protected by those regulations? It's the same argument. But it is important to realize that you have to look at this in multiple ways. First of all, if you are an employee who works at a place that is open on Thanksgiving, you do have a choice. You do. Just like if you want free abortions covered by your work health care and free contraception covered by your work health care, you have a choice to go to another employer. The progressive argument on that fact is no, every employer has to offer these things. Right.
Right.
But you actually have a choice. Matter. Right. Conservatives believe the employer should have the choice. And if you decide you don't want to work for that employer, you go to another one. And you might say, well, first of all, most employees work under an employer that is closed on Thanksgiving. Almost all businesses are closed on Thanksgiving. And that only gives you the choice of almost all employers when you're looking for a job. Okay. I understand that you might be really annoyed. I know that we've had in my family, we've had there's always multiple Thanksgivings going on, and we would adjust the time of Thanksgiving.
Wait, yeah, what?
Lots of Thanksgivings. But, you know, you have family members, right? You have one side of the family has Thanksgiving at one place. One side has another place. And a lot of people are bouncing back and forth. They're going to multiple houses, right? And we would adjust the times to make sure that those meals coincided when people were available. There'd Correct. Be an earlier one and a later one.
Because perhaps someone had to work.
Right, maybe someone had to work.
I can be there after 4. Okay.
Okay, that's when we have dinner. If you're important enough, if it's that important.
Otherwise, it's like, yeah, with leftovers are in the kitchen.
Exactly.
Good to see you.
You learn a little bit about your standing in the family when they're like, ah, well, the mashed potatoes, they're still kind of warm. They're sitting on the counter.
We were going to wait, but we didn't.
We didn't. But the other side of this, too, is ask employees. Ask people who work in retail, who are not always the most highly compensated employees in America, when they're making $10 an hour working at a retail job, ask them if they want to make $20 an hour for one day. If they want to make time and a half or double time or in some cases triple time for working on Thanksgiving, we're going to take that choice away from the employees that are not the highest earning in our society. We're going to take that away from them because it makes us feel good about traditional family values, which there's no way the left or the media actually cares about at all.
No.
It's not even a realistic point. But the other thing is, I love the idea that retail is the only thing we focus on. Think about your Thanksgiving day. This is what my Thanksgiving day was when I was growing up. You'd get up in the morning and you'd flip on the parade.
Of course.
The good old traditional Thanksgiving parade. And you'd watch the big fat balloons go down in between the city blocks in New York. And you'd wonder, how is this so popular? It's just a bunch of slow moving balloons. I cannot get my kids into it to save my life. They just don't. They're not impressed. Okay. But guess what? What you're watching is tens of thousands of people working. They're all working. The Pokemon balloon didn't blow itself up fly down Fifth Avenue.
And they are not all volunteers.
No, some of them are. But I mean, that some of them are not.
Yeah.
You go to a turkey trot in the morning. I know Jeffy's a big runner.
Can't keep me away from the distance, turkey trot. I like the early ones. Up early. Get started.
Guess what's happening? Those people are working there. Then you go and it's time to go off to grandma's house for Thanksgiving. And on the way there, we got to stop for gas at a gas station where people are
open.
Working. They're working there. Maybe you stop for a quick coffee or soda at a McDonald's where people are working. Then, of course, you get to the place. You get to grandma's house, and we never got those rolls. We never got those dinner rolls. We got to go out to the quick grocery store run. Let's make a quick grocery store run, where people are working. And then you get inside, and you're back inside, and you're getting ready. The meal's coming together. Nice family time. And you know what? You look outside, and wow, is it cold out there. But it's not cold in here. Why isn't it cold in here? Because heat is running from a corporation that is producing that heat, and there's a lot of employees there right now on Thanksgiving working. How about that electricity? Oh, isn't that a wonder? Modern wonder. Isn't it fantastic that the lights are all on in here? There aren't magic elves in your wall running on hamster wheels to turn some magical power generation. There is a power plant. And yes, they probably have less people than normal, but there's a lot of people there working.
Right.
Oh, but then the traditional Thanksgiving, you have the meal, you sit down, and this is what I did yesterday, a fat gut just falling out of your shirt, and you flip on that TV, and you watch the traditional football game where, you got to watch the Cowboys, unfortunately, it's your choice, but you got the Cowboys, you got the Lions, and you got now apparently another third game.
Yeah, you have to have a third. Cover the day.
By the way, completely in favor of the third game, what football all day, but guess what you're seeing when you turn that on? You're seeing, first of all, two teams worth of players and coaches and everybody else, they're all working. And guess what's how are you seeing this magical thing? Well, I don't know, progressives. Guess what you're seeing? You're seeing people boarding cameras, and you're seeing people directing shows, and you're seeing all sorts of things going on. And all of those people are in the stadium and at home and the home office working. And then you're seeing tons of people who parked all these cars, parking attendants, and people who are inside the stadium running the concessions.
No, those aren't open.
No, they are.
Right?
They're all open, and they're all working. And it's like, this is, and of course, these are all, some of those are really important. You have to have electricity and heat, of course. And this is just mindless consumerism. It's just shopping. It's just shopping. And if you need to shop so badly, just shop online. Here's a crazy secret. This is going to be, I know the left is going to be shocked by this, but you know what? Over at Amazon, there's a lot of people on Thanksgiving working. They're all working for your benefit on these days. You know, this is all
family values.
Family values, right. It has nothing to do with family values. These places, they're people out there doing their jobs every day. And because we ignore all these thousands and thousands of people, we only have to stop, some retail outlet from actually opening up. And here's the thing. This is the craziest part of this. Black Friday today is called that because, this is the day that theoretically retailers get into the black for the year, right?
Right.
They run in the red all year, and then the Christmas season comes, Black Friday, it turns to the black. Now, that's not actually true, but that's why it was called that. I've got news for you. It's a lot harder for retailers to get in the black than it used to be.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've noticed this. All these places, there's no more Toys R Us locations in the United States. It's hard for these companies to actually make it by. We're going to take a giant shopping day away from them because the left tells us they care suddenly about traditional family values.
I know. It sounds good.
It does kind of sound good. It does.
I mean, it makes you feel good. That nostalgic for the days when nothing was open and you'd go. And I mean, if you don't have it, you don't need it.
I understand that. And that's, of course, true. But that is not my decision to make for everybody else.
No, it is not. And, by the way, it sounds good when you say, I don't want those open. I want to be able to stay home. We're out of milk. All right, I'll be right back.
Exactly. And you run to a store where people are
working. I told you to get milk yesterday. Why didn't you? I thought we had enough. All right, I'll go.
Think about this is a giant movement. in the name of traditional family values, that is basically giving, like, Amazon doesn't need another advantage. They're open all the time.
Right.
They don't need yet another advantage here. I love Amazon. I have nothing against them. But like when traditional retailers are already getting killed by places yeah. like Amazon, and you're going to take one of the most profitable theoretical days of the year away from them because you think, you know, people should stay home with a family they may or may not like.
I know.
It's quite presumptuous to tell everybody else what they need to do on Thanksgiving.
I know.
I don't like it. I don't like the idea that governments are now getting involved in it. I don't like the pressure group element of it. I didn't go out shopping yesterday. I didn't want to. I wanted to spend time with my family. Somehow, Jeffy wanted to spend time with his family, too. I know they didn't want to spend time with him.
Remember, I used the example of, isn't there something you should be doing?
Yeah, true. Let's take a minute here, like, and realize that just because I happen to like it and Jeffy happens to like staying home with our families, that doesn't mean everybody has to.
No,
they should
don't.
Be able to run away as much as you want.
Absolutely.
It's
and by
America.
The way, those movies that everybody went to see
Thank
and
you.
Fell in love with, over the amazingly, those don't just show up on the screen.
No, there are people there working. 888-727-BECK is the phone number. By the way, well, welcome to Black Friday. If you made the choice to stay home with your family and run out the second, I love it. Like, oh, we care about traditional family values. By the way, stores open at 4 a.m. 888-727-BECK is the phone number. It's Jeffy and Stu here in for the Glenn Beck on the Glenn Beck program working. It's Stu and Jeffy in for Glenn Beck, who is currently eating his way out of a self-imposed stuffing and mashed potato prison that he built. Yesterday, and he's
not bad of a prison to be in.
He could not get a microphone in there, though, so he's off today. He's back on Monday, though. By the way, I want to remind you, glenbeck.com/tour, if you happen to be in Florida. Actually, we should get some tickets away today. If you're in Florida and you want to go to the tour in either Tampa or Orlando, we're going to be there. I think it's next week, right? Isn't it next week?
Yeah the end
next
of the
week.
Month.
All right, if you want to go there, call 888-727-BECK. Let's give a pair of tickets away now to if you are in Tampa or Orlando or can be there next week and want to go to the show. We would love to have you. Mike will take a couple calls there on that one and give some tickets away.
Nice.
There was a Black Friday shooting last night. As you know, this is what happens when Black Friday and capitalism comes together. People are struggling to get that hot new toy. It doesn't matter. And they wind up shooting each other. And that's the story I'm seeing everywhere.
I know, but except it's not true.
It's not true on multiple levels. First of all, it wasn't Black Friday. It was Thursday. So it can't be a Black Friday shooting if it happened on Thursday night.
But their argument to that would be that the mall opened because of Black Friday sales. Right. They opened early, right?
It's even worse because it happened on Thanksgiving.
Yes.
However, it has nothing to do with struggling to get the new toy. It is a story in which it seems two teens were fighting.
Yep.
The fight escalated, having nothing to do with buying anything. They wound up apparently shooting at each other. A 12-year-old girl who was also there, innocent bystander, was also hit. Looks like she's going to be okay.
Right. And then the police confronted the one teen who was trying to get away.
And they killed him.
Yes.
Yes. So one dead, two injured in that shooting. But you're seeing that as a Black Friday shooting. A real stretch to call it a Black
Friday
shooting.
But they get it, right? And the mall is now closed, so they can be happy.
Yeah. Well, there you go. All right, we'll take your calls here coming up. 888-727-BECK is the phone number. We also have some really good things that are happening. A lot of people like to look at the world and say, people are killing each other in malls. Well, we do know. We covered this, I think, a little bit earlier in the week where the murder rate's down by 50% since the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
Well, you wouldn't think that.
You wouldn't think that.
You would not think that.
So let's come back and we'll do some of that as well. It's Stu and Jeffy in for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
It's Stu and Jeffy in for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program. Something we just realized kind of just happened just a couple of moments ago on the air. I kind of realized that Glenn isn't here and I can do whatever I want. He can't stop me.
I like that.
Which is fun. It's a fun thing to realize.
That was a good thought. We should have thought of that earlier, actually.
So let's go to Scott in Florida, who is calling in because we decided we're going to give away some tickets to the tour that's coming next week. By the way, if you want to buy tickets, glenbeck.com/tour. Maybe we'll give away a bunch today. Scott, you there?
Yes, I am, and I'm calling from Tampa.
Nice.
And because you can do whatever you want, does that mean I get front row?
Well, I assume I can't screw the people who actually bought the front row tickets, but I can get you in the house if that'll work for you.
Wow, look at you. We're giving you free tickets, and you're just asking for more. It's not enough.
They call it
Glenn Rice Krispie Treats.
Oh, well, he does like marshmallows.
It will be sealed. There will be, no razor blades inside, nothing like that.
Sure.
I'm not into antics.
Wait.
Just so you know, everyone who puts razor blades inside of Rice Krispies Treats says they are not putting Rice Krispies Treats and razor blades together. So, okay, Scott in Tampa, you are in. Thank you, and we'll get your information here off the air. And I think we'll do more tickets here coming up as well.
So we got the Orlando and the Tampa show.
Yes.
That we can give tickets away for.
Yeah, why not?
I mean, I love it.
What's he going to do? Well, he'll come back on the other side, and they'll say, you shouldn't have given those away.
Oh,
and
no.
I'm going to say, what are you going to do? Screw your fans?
Oh, no.
Screw the people who want to see you live?
I thought for sure we needed to give those tickets away to our fans. I'm sorry.
All right, thanks, Scott. We'll do more tickets here in a little bit. Let's go to Trent in Michigan. Trent, welcome to the Glenn Beck program.
Hi, good morning, guys. Happy Thanksgiving. My name is Trent, and I am an accordion player at the Frankenmuth Bavarian Inn, and I love working on Thanksgiving.
You love working on Thanksgiving?
I've been working on Thanksgiving for years.
Ah, nice. And you said you work at an inn?
Yeah, the Bavarian Inn in Frankenmuth. Don't you? You are not aware of the Bavarian Inn, Frankenmuth? Oh, that's good stuff, yeah. Mm. Chicken dinners,
that's
baby.
All you can eat.
Yeah. There you
chicken
go.
Dinners.
Well, I'll say, it's another good example, too. Inns, right? Like hotels, restaurants, like all these places are open, too. The Chinese restaurant in A Christmas Story is open on Christmas.
There you go.
Right? Those people were working. So you actually like working on Thanksgiving. I think, shouldn't you have the choice to do that, or should the government just shut you down?
I have a lot of choice. If I don't do it, some other accordion player will. There's tons of them in Frankenmuth.
Right. All the battles of accordion players in Frankenmuth.
Yeah, it's kind of like
ugly.
East Coast, West Coast rap. There's a huge battle of accordion players in Frankenmuth. And we don't have time to get into the whole backstory of it. There's a lot of nuance in that, and I'm not sure which side of I'm on. But I appreciate your call, Trent. Thanks a lot. He's not the only one, right?
Right.
People are generous on Thanksgiving, I would assume. Might be a good time to be out there doing something where you can get paid, and maybe if you're getting tips as well, might be a good time for that. It shouldn't be.
He did say something that bows into the argument of that the left will make, though, is that of course, if he decides he doesn't want to work and work with his family, someone else will take it and costing him his job.
Yeah,
that shouldn't be the case.
That shouldn't be the case, right? They should instead be forced to not work and not make
to
a
make
double
any
pay.
Money.
Right? Why is it the government or some pressure group's decision as to whether you are able to earn a living on a particular day? That should be your choice every
Absolutely.
Single time. That is something fundamental, right? If you're able to live a life in which you're able to support your family. And you want to go out there, or if you just freaking want to do it and you want to spend it on Twinkies,
whatever you want.
I don't want to romanticize it here. You have the right to be lazy, and you want to throw it at Xbox games. Do it. That is totally your right to do. And I hate that. We might think it's a better decision, but we don't get to make it for everybody.
No, right? We do not. And I like the idea of being able. We've all worked for a number of years where you've made the decision of we need people to work. Yeah, I'm working. I'll work.
Yeah.
Take
I mean, it, you know, Take this, this, the stupid voice you're hearing coming out of your radio right now, by the way, I don't know if you noticed this, but your radio station was likely on the air on Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And
how
there
were
a lot
happen?
Of people busting their ass,
people working.
Engineers and IT people and, probably a board op in some places, depending on what the level.
Still, though, even the ones, let's say, that don't have the board op, you use the example of electricity and the power companies having people to work. I got news for you. If something goes down, people are on call
to come in
and work.
Oh, man.
So whether you started cutting your turkey or not, when something like that happens, you're working.
Oh, that's true. If something goes wrong with this broadcast right now, there will be engineers that will have to rush in. And we're not on Thanksgiving. This is the day after. But if that were happening, they would have to rush in and fix things. I mean, these guys, engineers at radio stations, bust their asses. They're freaking climbing towers in the middle of the night to fix problems so you can hear the latest Britney Spears song. Okay. And they got to come in, but I'm here, filling in for Glenn Beck. Obviously, I'm on the show every single day. It's a national radio show. Been doing it for a long freaking time. You know where this started? This started the first time I was ever in a radio studio, and I learned how to run a board in a radio studio.
Amazing.
Overnight, Christmas Eve into Christmas.
Thank you.
That is the, that was the night from midnight to six, Christmas Eve into Christmas.
And that's your shift. You want it or not?
Yeah, yes, I want it. Please let me in. You think I want progressive government officials telling me I was not able to go in that night and learn? Because you know what? It's Christmas and you should be home with your family. They're all asleep.
I'll be home with them later.
By the way, I was living in an apartment by myself. There was no family to go home to. My parents were asleep. And again, individual circumstances lead to individual decisions. Yes. And people should be able to make those decisions on their own. By the way, this is the thing that really bothers me about this. And it's not just being open on Thanksgiving. It's just the latest example of this. But it's constant fight against capitalism. And what's amazing about that is it's basically the best thing humankind has ever done. Capitalism has brought us from, I mean, look, you can't compare it with, and I mean, you want to talk about faith issues, you want to talk about God. Sure, there's things that are more amazing than anything that humans have done. However, I believe capitalism is a gift from God. I believe it is divinely inspired. Think about what it has accomplished. It's accomplished more than any other idea in human history. The idea that people can associate with who they want to and economically associate with who they want to. When it comes to not only just capitalism as we think about it in the United States, but free trade and specialization and all of these wonderful things have created so much positive in the world. And it's an element of people constantly fighting against it every single opportunity.
Every step.
I don't understand
every step. It's amazing. And people, by the way, it's so terrible that people just continue to want to come here.
Yeah, I know.
they continue to want to come here and not leave.
And not leave, because it's a freaking great place to live. And, you know, we're all critical of certain things. I certainly bitch about, the government and things that they do all the time. And, you know, that is because I'm protecting this thing I think is so great. Right. But we still have it better than anybody has ever had it. Listen to some of this. U.S. life expectancy in 1800 was 39 years old. Life expectancy, 39. In 1900, it was up to 49. In 1950, it was up to 68. Today, it's 79 years old. The average newborn today can expect to live an entire generation longer than his great-grandparents could.
Wow.
Think about that. In 1949, Popular Mechanics magazine made the bold prediction that someday, in the distant future, a computer could weigh less than a ton.
Wow.
Can you imagine that?
I can't.
Can you imagine that world? By the way, an iPad today weighs 0.73 pounds.
I mean, we all carry phones with internet access and computer access 100 times, if not more, faster and more information than that ton computer.
Yeah, and honestly, even from like the early 90s, think of how much better, you know, just your phone is than a computer that was you had in the mid 90s. I mean, when you could first get on the internet.
Right.
I mean, it's so much better. Average American now retires at the age of 62, which was what, 40 years ago for you, Jeffy?
60. I remember 62.
You're really going, yeah. You're bringing that average up quite a bit. 100 years ago, the average American died at 51.
Oof.
Today, we retire at 62. That's incredible.
That is.
2% of American homes had electricity in 1900. 2%.
Wow.
J.P. Morgan was one of the first people to install electricity in his home. And it required a private power plant on his property. By 1950, still 30% of American homes didn't have electricity. It wasn't until the 1970s that virtually all homes were powered. When you adjust for wage growth, electricity cost more than 10 times as much in 1900 than it does today.
So we still had plenty of people without electricity in 1970?
Yeah. 30% of all homes in 19, that was 1950, I think, for 30%. Okay. 1970 is about when it really became everywhere. The number of lifetime years spent in leisure. So, okay, you have a week where you work 40 hours. Maybe you have a few hours where you're drinking beers with the guys. You got some hours you're hanging with your kids, whatever it is. Leisure time. The number of lifetime years in your entire life spent in leisure, it's retirement time plus time off during your working years, rose from 11 years in 1870 to 35 years in 1990.
So in 1870, the leisure time was walking from field to field.
Pretty much. Given the rise in life expectancy, it's about 40 years today, which is amazing. The average American spends nearly half of their life in leisure.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It doesn't feel that way sometimes.
No, it does not.
I will say.
No, it does not.
If you would have told that to an American 100 years ago, they would have thought you were the wealthiest person in the world.
Yeah.
Half of your life in leisure? That's impossible. It's very possible, even for the average person today. Median household income adjusted for inflation was about $25,000 per year during the 1950s. It's nearly double that amount today. If you dig into how the average prosperous American family lived in the 1950s, you'll find a standard of living that we would call poverty today. That's an incredible thing. I mean, you look at that around the world, it's even more stark. I mean, whenever you hear these left-wing arguments of, you know, the wealthiest 1%, you have to realize that those same people who are fighting on behalf of the everyday factory worker here in the United States. Are they? Because look, many of those groups are saying the same thing in other countries about those factory workers.
Yes.
Because in other countries, they'll go to Bangladesh and they'll put up a poster about the wealthiest 1% being evil. And what they're referring to are people making about $38,000 a year or more in the United States. That puts you in the wealthiest 1% of the world.
So think about it. Nobody wants to think about that.
No. And these groups do think about it, and they realize it's just class warfare anywhere they can get it. They'll advocate for the same factory worker in the United States against the evil Rockefellers, and they'll advocate in Bangladesh and in China against the U.S. factory worker because they're so well off. It has nothing to do with fighting for a factory worker, I'll tell you that much. According to the Census Bureau, only 1 in 10 homes had air conditioning in 1960. That rose to 49% in 1973 and 89% today. The 11% that do not have air conditioning are mostly in cold climates. And that's it. Think about
that
improvement.
Incredible.
You lived in Florida, Jeffy, did I. And, you know, you still sweat like you do live in Florida, even when it's 40 degrees outside. But can you imagine anyone choosing to live in Florida or Texas, for that matter?
No.
Before air conditioning?
No. I don't know what they did, actually. I mean, I can hypothesize why we need air conditioning in Florida, but aside from the heat from the sun. Why would you live there? I mean, wouldn't you want to be away from there if you didn't have air conditioning?
That's true.
I mean, air conditioning and refrigeration.
Death. Yeah.
But other than that, why would you? No, I'm not going to. We can stay up here.
So these are good things.
Absolutely.
These are good things. All right. 888-727 Beck is the phone number. It's Stu and Jeffy in for Glenn Beck. Let's give another pair of tickets away to either the Tampa or Orlando show. 888-727 Beck is the phone number. If you want to come see the show, it's next week in Tampa and Orlando. If you're in that area, yeah, give a call. You're not allowed, Jeffy. Give a call
you're
now.
Just giving them away.
Yes. 888-727 Beck is the phone number. Back with more in a second.
Glenn Beck, Mercury.
It's Stu and Jeffy in for Glenn here on the Glenn Beck program. Since he's not here, we're doing whatever we want, which includes giving tickets to you for free for our upcoming shows in Tampa and Orlando next week. We have Spencer in Florida on the phone. Spencer, welcome to the Glenn Beck program.
Hey, good morning, guys.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. Since you're doing whatever you want, how about some more on trivia this morning?
Okay.
Well, more on trivia we played on Wednesday was correct again, so we're 10-2.
10-2.
10-2 this season.
If you don't know, they're playing it on Pat Gray Unleashed every week, so you can check that out on Fridays typically, right?
Yes, next Friday will be the next game. All right, Friday morning's 8 a.m. Eastern.
By the way, there's not enough people here for us to do more on trivia. There's like 4 people in the entire building today. They're all home with their families, not working.
It does take actual people that work to create that.
But we can get you into the show in Tampa next week. It's glennbeck.com/tour if you would like to join as well, or we'll give some extra tickets out here coming up as well. Why should we let you in? Is there any reason? Have you done anything good for society?
Absolutely not. Just wanted to go through some entertainment.
That's perfect. If you had an answer to that, we were going to hang up on you. So I appreciate it. Spencer, thanks so much for coming, and we'll see you it's Friday or Saturday, I think, is Tampa. Friday is Tampa, Saturday is Orlando, I think it is. We'll check it out for you. Let me give you a couple more of these as we go here. Adjusted for overall inflation, cost of an average round-trip airline ticket has fallen 50% from 1978 to today. The average new home has more bathrooms than occupants. How fantastic is that? More bathrooms and occupants. And if you're in a house with Jeffy, you definitely want more bathrooms and occupants. I'll tell you that.
Wait.
Back in a second. 888-727-BECK is the phone number.
Glenn Beck.
If you happen to be in a deep, deep holiday depression today, keep this in mind. We are in the season of the 2020 election already. And
yes.
Well, good things ahead. Two freaking years of a presidential election. But this one's going to be a lot of fun because this time we have a massive field of Democrats who are going to be beating each other up for the next year and a half.
Well, that's good.
And that is going to be massively entertaining.
That'll be fun. Yeah.
It is going to be really fun. So get used to it. But I will say that something happened in a college football game the other day that actually kind of reminds me of how I feel about just politics in general. Every time I think about Washington, I think just like this referee. Listen.
Of the play is a touchdown. After the play, unsportsmanlike conduct on all players from both teams. That will be their first unsportsmanlike conduct foul.
I don't think I've ever heard that before. All players on both teams?
Every team.
Can you do that?
Yes, you can now.
Apparently you can.
Everybody gets a check mark. You're done.
I love that. I honestly did not know you could just call mass, like, collective penalties like that, but I like it.
Well, instead of, I mean, it's probably been done where they've called it on the team.
I guess.
That was just the way he said it was great.
All players on both teams.
Look, we are all on sports with like conduct right now.
Mm-hmm. And if that's how you feel about Washington, wait until this next year and a half. This is going to be amazing. I want to spend some time on Black Friday. As you're driving and you're going out and you're doing your Black Friday shopping, or you're more likely actually, you know, doing anything else if you're smart, because I don't want to go anywhere near these stores today, but it's a whole other story. We have a list of the potential candidates who are going to take on Donald Trump in 2020.
Well, not only will this be fun to watch and fun to have, it'll be fun to hear who they think can beat him.
Right. Now, as I'm scrolling through, the list is pretty expansive.
Really?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 15, 16, 17,
wow.
18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40. I see 40
wow.
here if I counted that right. And by the way, there are already a couple of names that are not on this list that I think are very possible. So if you notice any, Jeffy, if you think of any during the time that might be on the list,
I'm interested
write it
to
down.
Hear the 40, though.
Okay, here
I mean,
we go.
This got to be, because some of these people cannot honestly believe that they have a shot.
Oh, no. I think there are a lot of different reasons you run for president. Like, why do you keep your name in the running? Because you're relevant until you take it off the list.
That's true.
As soon as you say, I'm not running, and people believe you. Now, this is not like Beto O'Rourke, right? Like, Beto says, oh, I'm not running, and nobody believes him.
Right.
So no
not
one takes him off the list. But when you are convincing and you take your name off the list, everyone forgets about you. You can't sell any books. You can't book speeches. It's all dead. It's such a scam. It's a money grab for a lot of these people, or a power grab, right? Like, you're trying to raise your name, up in the list so people will think that you're relevant.
Heaven forbid they just stick to the job that we elected them to do in the first place as congressman or senator.
That's terrible. Well, let's start there. We'll start with senators. Okay, here we go. We've got a list of 40 here. And if you have anyone else you think is not on this list, feel free to call in. 888-727-BECK is the phone number. It's Stu and Jeffy in for Glenn today, who's still eating mashed potatoes.
I'm pretty sure he probably is.
Probably is. Okay, the first on the list, and this is not in any particular order other than they've grouped them by, you know, the place they're coming from. For example, we start with senators, okay? Cory Booker. Now, Cory Booker, to me, has no chance of being president. And I should never say that, because every time I say it, that person's president. Right, I said it about Barack Obama. I was like, this guy's been senator for 2 years. He's not going to be president. And then he's president.
Right,
we've seen this happen over and over again. So Cory Booker, we all know that he had his I Am Spartacus moment.
He sure did.
Mm-hmm. And this is why the big indication is he's going to run, because he did everything he could to grandstand
he did.
During the Kavanaugh thing. The I Am Spartacus thing was his way of saying, I am such an extreme opponent of a conservative justice, I will break the law to stop him. Now, that was his case. We know he didn't break the law. He was
right.
Think about that. He was actually saying, no, it's like it's a police officer pulling you over. Go, by the way, you were not speeding. Yes, I was. I sure was speeding. And I was drunk and I'm reckless driving too. Like, he was trying to convince everyone he was super tough. So the incentives are, he was trying to signal a 2020 run, trying to get activists on his side. I do not think it worked.
I don't think it worked either. He doesn't, I don't know. Again, I don't want to say that he's not going to do it because we have been wrong, but he doesn't seem likable enough.
Yeah. And let's rate these as we go through. Do they have any chance of being the Democratic nominee? And do they have any chance of beating Donald Trump if they are?
I mean, I could see Corey maybe at the VP level.
Yeah, maybe. That's a good point. We'll add that question too. So there's three questions. I like this.
Maybe.
VP, nominee,
maybe,
and beating Trump.
Spartacus to ride along.
I think that's the only one he has a chance for, is VP. And I think that would be a very bad decision by the Democrats, but it's
so
possible.
Too.
All right, we got 40 of these, so let's go. The second one, Sherrod Brown. He is the senator from Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
He just won an easy election in a state that is known as a swing state, but is leading red lately. What he's known for, of course, is the Democrat that keeps winning in Ohio. This is according to Politico, by the way, put together this list. He has, of course, been focusing on reelection for this last campaign. People are thinking he's a kind of a left-wing populist in a somewhat red state that continues to win, an important state for the election. Would this be a good candidate?
No way.
So let's go up the list here. Could he be a VP candidate? I think the answer is
maybe.
Yes.
Maybe,
it could be. Could he be the nominee? This is a question here. I think it's possible. I think there's a path there,
really?
For Sherrod Brown. I think it's a narrow path. And
wow.
I think the issue with him is he's not going to be seen as an extremist activist favorite. He's not going to get a lot of the left-wing love. He's only going to get left-wing love.
As a VP runner, though. As VP, he brings you Ohio,
yeah,
right?
Maybe.
And, well, yeah,
that's
okay.
The thought.
Right. And he's... not known enough to where he could be, you know, I'm not that extreme. I'm on your side.
Right. It's the VP one I can definitely see. Because especially if you get a more left-wing candidate,
yeah,
more activist-level candidate running, you could see them, okay, Sherrod Brown, he's been around. It's kind of, you know, it's not a sexy pick, but you could see somebody picking him as a VP. I do not think he's... People like him against Trump on the Democratic side.
Oof.
The people who argue for him because... he could pick off some of... That was the area that Trump won that previous Republicans like Romney didn't, right? That area, right? Like
guys
between,
like Cory Booker or Sherman, I don't know that they know what they're up against.
I don't think so either. All right, so there we go. Kirsten Gillibrand. She's the senator from New York. She's, of course, been big on the Me Too thing. She's been kind of the public face as far as senators go on the Me Too thing. She said that Bill Clinton should have resigned during the Monica Lewinsky scandal. She led... the campaign to get Al Franken to resign as well.
Right.
She's already visited New Hampshire and Nevada. And she's kind of been known as not a super far left Democrat. Again, we're talking degrees of left here. So I understand that she's very liberal, but she's been trying to position herself as a little more moderate than the far left people. She also, though, has now been lately moving left to try to attract those activists. She was saying she wants to abolish ICE, for example. I mean, this is a very far left wing. And a federal jobs guarantee. I mean, these are multiple trillion dollar policies that she's supporting.
No, she could. I could see her definitely running.
Definitely. I mean, definitely running.
Yeah.
That's the fourth question. Is she going to run? Okay, now we're going to go. Will she run? I think the answer to that
is yes.
Absolutely.
100%.
Could she be a VP? I think the answer to that is yes.
Yeah.
Could she be the nominee?
I don't know.
I wouldn't completely rule it out.
I don't know.
Could she beat Donald Trump? I don't think so.
No way.
I don't think so.
No way.
It's not impossible, I guess, but I don't think so. Again, you got to understand, too, that the climate could be a little bit different than it is right now. If the economy goes south, almost anybody can beat Donald Trump. That economy has to stay together. And that is going to be very difficult. If it doesn't stay together, there's going to be a lot of trouble there in this campaign. Next up, Tim Kaine. the most forgettable VP candidate in history. Somebody, I bet 80% of Hillary Clinton voters could not name who they voted for on that VP ticket. He was a giant zilch.
He brought nothing to that.
Brought nothing to that ticket.
That was too bad. I mean,
that did not work at all.
It didn't work at all.
At all. Again, you can always second guess these things. But like people beat up on the McCain pick of Sarah Palin. And it's like, well, Palin at least energized the base for McCain. It was the only reason I voted for him, to be honest, at that time.
You can argue that
they were going to win Alaska anyway. But yes, okay. But I mean, I think too, you know, when you look at the exit polling, more people voted for the ticket because of Sarah Palin than voted against it because of Sarah Palin. So, I mean, I don't know. It didn't wind up working. And I think, you know, McCain second guessed it before his death. But he was, I mean, I don't know how you argue in Kane's favor here. He did nothing. He had a chance in the spotlight and did nothing with it. He's not going to run. He cannot be the vice president. He's not going to be the nominee. And there's no way he could beat Trump. All of those things.
Agreed.
I think we're agreed on.
Yes.
Amy Klobuchar. She is the senator from Minnesota. She is, talked about in Democratic circles as a centrist. I don't necessarily believe that, of course, but that's the way she's talked about. She is a Democrat in a state that leans blue, but was pretty close in 2016. There are now two female senators. I think too, the female advantage here is important. I would be stunned if one of the two places on that ticket are not a woman.
Yeah, again, they almost have to be.
This is a party that is obsessed with identity.
Yeah, they almost have to be.
I think Klobuchar, absolute VP candidate as a possibility. Do you think she'll run? I think there's a good chance of it.
Really?
I'm not sold.
I don't know.
But she's not particularly well known outside of her state. Could she be the nominee? I think there's a path there. I think there's a path for almost every woman on this list that hasn't shown themselves to be particularly awful. We'll get to some of those in a bit. Can she beat Trump? Well, you know, that's gonna be tough. You got to have a fighter in that role, I think.
Yes.
I think they learned their lesson from that.
And they have to have someone that can, you know, someone that can take up, you know, a fighter. Yeah, I mean, that's the only way to say it. They've got to be able to take those punches and punch back.
And punch back well. Hillary Clinton was terrible at that. She could not do it at all. And I think it was probably her biggest downfall as far as that election went. Now, look, her policies were all terrible too, but Democrats don't care about that. The people who could have voted for Hillary and decided instead to vote for Trump, I think just saw her as just not incapable. If she can't deal with the pressure there, can she deal with, you know, the Vladimir Putins of the world? Look, she was Secretary of State in a period that wasn't exactly successful, in my estimation. But, you know, we'll see. Jeff Merkley, senator from Oregon. he is the only U.S. senator to endorse Bernie Sanders in 2016. So you see the approach he's here.
Jeff Merkley.
He's a big climate guy. Climate extremist in my mind, but he's a big climate guy. He has been open about the possibility of running. He's visited the early states. He's reportedly hired staffers in Iowa and Nevada with a pack there. Again, maybe he's going to run. It seems like he's leaning that way. I do not think he's a serious contender for the nomination. Or
no way.
You know, someone's going to grab that Bernie Sanders mantle there, and it may or may not be Bernie himself. We'll get to him here in a second. I don't think it's going to be Merkley. He's not known well enough. Could he be a VP candidate even? I mean, the only way I could see that happening is if you had someone who you was really considered to be a centrist Democrat somehow won. And they wanted to pull someone over to get the left wing on their side. But I don't see
that. That says it all about Jeff Merkley, because I actually looked him up. I really meant it. Who?
Yeah.
Education, Woodrow Wilson School of Public and International Affairs.
There you go.
Number one.
There you go. All right, let's take a break. We have a bunch more to get to here. Who is going to be running against Donald Trump? We're figuring that out today. We're solving that issue for you. It's Stu and Jeffy here for Glenn Beck on the Glenn Beck Program. 888-727-BECK is the phone number, and also the number you should call now if you're in Florida and want to go to the Tampa or Orlando Stage Tour show. We're coming next week to Tampa on November 30th, which is Friday, a week from today, and Orlando December 1st. If you'd like to go to either one of those shows, give us a call. We're giving away a pair of tickets now. 888-727-BECK is the phone number. We're going through the 2020 candidates for President of the United States. It's Stu and Jeffy in for Glenn. And we're down to Elizabeth Warren. Now, when I talked just a moment ago about how you need to have someone, if you want to beat Donald Trump, they're going to have to pick somebody who can fight and hang and deal with the pressure of the sort of stuff he brings, right?
Right.
Like Pocahontas, right? She has proved she cannot handle that.
I know.
She is the ultimate example of somebody who is, if they name her the nominee, if she gets that gig, she is going to get destroyed by Donald Trump. That's
for sure.
And look, obviously, I don't want Elizabeth Warren to be president, so go ahead and name her because she's going to lose. But stranger things have happened in the world, and so I do not want her being president of the United States.
Boy, it's possible that they run her, though.
She's one of the top tier people. I will say I think she destroyed her chances with this whole.
I went to 23andMe.com and they said I was 1/1000th Native American. It was handled so poorly.
Dumb move.
So poorly that I think, unfortunately, Democrats got the idea, whoa, she's going to be a disaster if she's the nominee. Listen to this. This is from a podcast. 538 did a podcast going through a bunch of the nominees as well a couple weeks ago. And the crowd is very Democratic. Like they're cheering Amy Klobuchar, and they're inside politics people, right? So listen to the crowd reaction, however, to Elizabeth Warren. Listen to this.
So Claire, who is the number one overall choice in our 2020 Democratic primary draft?
I am sticking with my last first round choice of Elizabeth Warren.
Elizabeth Warren. Okay, there it is. They don't like that pick.
All right. I mean, that is not an endorsement.
They don't like that.
I'll tell you that. And I think that's smart. I think she's going to run, but I do not think she has a chance of winning. How about Bernie Sanders? Bernie Sanders is next up on the list.
No way.
We're going through, I think there's 40 of these, by the way. Bernie Sanders, can he win the nomination? I mean, he finished second last time. He was competitive with Hillary. There's an argument to be made.
I know.
But I do feel like he's old news, right?
Yes, he is old news. And he's old.
He's 77.
I mean, look, Elizabeth Warren has that issue, too. I mean, everybody wants to think of her as the little young spring chicken senator, but she's not.
No, she is.
She's 67, 69. 68?
Yeah, okay. 69. Look, Donald Trump's not young either, though. But I think like that's a smart thing for the Democrats to do is probably pick somebody who can make that point, right? If you got a 50-year-old candidate, you could say, look, I mean, Donald Trump's the old policy of the past. You know they're going to say it anyway. Bernie Sanders will be like, I'm the future of Marxism. You know, like, wow, what a dive into the future there, Bernie. But I don't think he's going to win. I would be stunned if he is the guy. I think they can get the same policies from somebody in a better package. Because when Bernie came out the first time, people were like, oh, well, there's a lot of socialists in the Democratic Party. Yeah, but they didn't say it.
Nope, they did not.
They didn't admit it back then. Not.
And Bernie, one of the things that Bernie does is that, you know, despite disliking him and his old, he's actually, you know, he's not dumb. He knows how to word his stuff. And where you have what's her face from New York, you're not going to get that from her. It's too soon.
Ocasio-Cortez, that you're talking about. Yeah. Well, luckily she's at least 7 years away from having a chance to run for president. But who knows
in this world?
Yeah.
That needs to change. I don't know who's responsible for that.
Yeah, exactly. Bernie, I don't think it's going to happen for Bernie here. But it's not completely impossible. You have to think that there's a path there. And you hate whenever you get to a one-on-one. You know, a lot of it has to do with what's happening at the time. If, you know, a major world event, I mean, no one could have beaten Barack Obama in 2008 because of the financial collapse, right? It happened a month before. We were in the middle of a massive recession, no matter who the Democrats trotted out there. And if they had a socialist, we would have elected one. And now Barack Obama was pretty close in many ways to a socialist. But let me give you the determination, the difference here. Bernie Sanders in 2013. Came out with a proposal for Medicare for everyone, universal health care. He got no co-sponsors. Zero. Now, almost everyone on this list of senators I just gave you has openly supported that bill. That's how far we've come in a very short time. Back with the rest of the candidates here in just a moment. So, if you want to get your Christmas shopping done right this second, go to glenbeck.com/tour. You give them tickets to next week's show in Tampa or Orlando. And you say, well, you're getting nothing on Christmas. That was your Christmas present, stupid. Whatever that is. You go ahead and do that. glenbeck.com/tour. Quickly, we have David from Florida on the line. David, welcome to the Glenn Beck program.
Thanks, dude. Glad to be on the program. And I was looking and trying to get some tickets for my wife's birthday. We were at the show a couple of years ago, and we had the best time. It was amazing.
Awesome. Thank you. And you want to go to this this event here in Tampa?
Yes, sir.
All right.
And you're hoping to relive the best time? I mean, it's been a couple of years.
I think it should be mandatory for everybody to go to see and have some good times, but at the same time listen to some of the nonsense that's going on.
Oh, yeah.
Take the edge off the holidays.
Yes. Well, we will definitely do that. It'll take the edge off the holidays. I will say we're a couple of years older and fatter, so it's not going to be pretty, but we do appreciate it, and we'll get you into the show. And there's nothing like surprising your wife for her birthday on national radio, so I think that surprise will work out well for you.
She will have the best time, and she'll be so surprised. So thank you very much.
Thank you, David. Thank you very much. Tampa, the mothership of this program. It's where it all started. Orlando, one of our first affiliates. So if you happen to be in those areas, we'd love to see you November 30th and December 1st at glenbeck.com/tour.
Glenn's not here, so we're just going to go ahead and give some giveaway anyway.
Well, there's got to be some promotional tickets somewhere, right? They'll figure this out after. Once they know they have all the names and everything, they're like, wait, what, you gave away tickets? Yes.
Yes.
You know where you were? Somewhere else, not here. If you were here, you could have stopped me, but you weren't.
Nope, we were out. It was a holiday working.
All right, we're getting through this list. As Jeffy points out, we've only made it through 8.5 hours, and there's
so
40 on this list. So I'll try to go through. There's only one more big name senator here. Kamala Harris would be the one that I would say is in the top tier here. And I think there is an argument for Kamala Harris
sure
on all of our questions. I think she's definitely going to run. I think VP is absolutely in the picture for her. She's from California. She's kind of the hot. She's like the hot new. You're getting Bernie Sanders policies out of a younger female candidate who seems to have ability. She's a former prosecutor, so she seems to have ability in that.
Yeah.
She can deal with the attacks and the back and forth a little bit with Donald Trump. She was not impressive in the Kavanaugh thing, but she wasn't Cory Booker. She was aggressive. And I would argue lied a lot.
Yes.
But again, remember, we're talking about Democrats voting for this. So can that happen?
Possible.
I think it can.
That's
I think
possible.
Kamala Harris is in the top
sadly,
tier.
Sadly, I think that's true.
Mark Warner from Virginia, I don't know. Right?
I mean, no.
How about this, Jeffy? I'll go through these names. A lot of them are going to get more and more obscure.
We all know the only. Okay, let's go through the list. I mean, we all know the most important person from Virginia is Jim Gilmore.
I don't think Jim's running this time.
No, he's not. He's giving it a rest, but it's okay.
If you have one that we want to expand on, you can stop me. But I think we're going to go through some
Mark
of these
Warner,
and just say, no. How about John Delaney? He's a U.S. representative from Maryland.
No.
Right? He's not going to be the nominee. This one's interesting, though. Tulsi Gabbard. Now, Tulsi Gabbard, I've never heard her name
Tulsi
before.
Gabbard.
She is a U.S. representative from Hawaii. She was apparently a major in the Army National Guard and Hawaii representative.
She is actually, I've seen her speak a couple of times. She's really good. Nobody knows who she is.
Yes.
Again, that's the problem.
Now, this opens us up to a different level of running for president. You don't always run for president to be president. Sometimes you run for president
to get known, recognized,
a vice presidential possibility. And sometimes you run just to get known. Get
that
your name
good.
From 0%. Understanding to 30-40%. So next time when you want to run, you have a chance. This
she
might
would,
be what we're looking
that.
At here. She's 37 years old.
Yeah, she would do that.
And she's a Bernie Sanders sort
she
of
sure
Democrat. Her approach to foreign policy, including a visit with Syrian President Bashar al-Assad, put her outside many in the Democratic mainstream. I don't know if that's true, but that would be an interesting thing to talk about. But she has gone to early states, and apparently, again, it doesn't seem like this time would be the time for her, but it's someone to consider long term.
She needs to be recognized. I mean, you're right. If she runs, it's because she wants people to know who she is, and she needs to do that.
Yeah, expand. Again, and Hawaii is not a great state to come from. However, obviously, we've seen someone born in Hawaii become president. Also, I would argue the main one here is the potential is VP here. If you have a Bernie Sanders actually wins. You could see someone like this being named as a VP.
Oh, she'd be
candidate.
A great VP for that, yeah.
Joe Kennedy, representative from Massachusetts. You got the name? You got anything else?
No. All you have is the speech sweat night, right?
Mm-hmm.
The lip balm night.
Lip balm
Isn't that
night.
Him?
I don't know.
I think that was him, wasn't
it? He's the lip balm guy? Yeah. Okay, there we go. Seth Moulton, he is a U.S. representative from Massachusetts, was in the Marine Corps. Known for pushing hard to get more veterans to run for office. He is pushed back against Nancy Pelosi. He's been to New Hampshire and Iowa. Mm. You know, I don't know. I mean, I again, probably in the outside picture for a VP. That's about
maybe.
It. Beto O'Rourke is, you have to consider, probably at this point, oddly a top-tier candidate.
Yeah.
He is a U.S. representative from Texas.
Sure is.
Famously lost to Ted Cruz by less than 3 points. They did like him. He was a good campaigner. I mean, he did a good job. He very, very liberal, way too liberal for Texas. But when it comes to mainstream Democrat right now,
I love him.
Probably right there.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
He's one that could really make a damage. He's probably yes to all of these questions. Could he run? Almost definitely. Could he be the VP? Oh, definitely. Could he be the nominee? I think the answer to that is yes. Could he beat Trump in the right circumstance? The answer is probably yes. Again, I think that it depends on what happens with the economy. I don't know how he would react to that sort of pressure. Cruz is not the guy who brings it like Trump does. So I don't know I don't know how that would go. But it's not impossible. Not impossible. Again, we're just trying to eliminate people. Tim Ryan from Ohio, a state senator that's there, now U.S. representative. He's been critical of Pelosi. He's one of those Rust Belt guys. I don't think so. Eric Swalwell does look like he's going to run. He's 37 years old. He's a U.S. representative from California. Most famously, recently, he talked about nuking the United States in case people had guns.
I was just trying to think. I know this name.
Yes.
The nuke guy.
It does look like he's going to run. I will say that. Again, I don't think he's a yes on any of our questions. Above that, though, he's not going to be. I don't think he's a VP candidate.
Trump will just spend the entire time beating him up for wanting to nuke the Second Amendment.
Right.
It'll be the end.
I guess. I mean, he doesn't. Again, when you're on Twitter making ridiculous comments like that, you're saying Swalwell is the perfect example of what I was talking about. A guy who is not known nationally, wants to be known nationally, and is using a run for the presidency as his opportunity to get known that way. So he's trying to raise his profile. Maybe this leads to him running for Senate or governor of California at some point.
Most definitely.
You know, that is what you're trying to do. You're not trying to become president as a 37-year-old congressman running with his profile. That's just, it's not even what he's attempting.
I mean, he does anything he wants in California if he wants to nuke gun owners.
Yeah, it's true. It's odd, but true. Steve Bullock, he's the governor of Montana. He is a red state Democrat, and that's a profile that a lot of people on the left are looking for and saying, hey, if we pick a crazy liberal, we're going to lose again. Instead, we need to pick someone who comes from a red state, who can talk to the middle of the country a little bit, who can say, hey, I understand that maybe not all gun owners are terrorists.
Right.
Do you think, I mean, he's visited the early states. He definitely seems like he's going to run. A VP candidate is probably in the picture for him. Again, though, the profile probably not high enough. Andrew Cuomo. Just reelected in New York. I think Cuomo's got a lot of corruption issues he's going to have to deal with. I don't think
he thinks an awful lot of himself.
And nobody loves Andrew Cuomo more than Andrew Cuomo. But I don't think there's a legitimate chance he could. I don't think there's he could run. I don't even think he's going to run. But he could run. I don't think he could be VP or nominee or any of that. I don't think.
No.
Again, how many freaking New York people do we have to run? Can we get another state to do anything? I mean, what is this? Both parties are running New York people all the time. I was born in the state, and I don't want another New York president. We've had enough. We've got one right now. We've got him. He's in office. When he decides to leave office, and that's over, let's go to another state. How about that? John Hickenlooper.
I love John Hickenlooper.
You do. I say no because of the name.
No, there's no way Hickenlooper. No,
you just can't have a president Hickenlooper. No. I just feel like it just doesn't work. Like if 24 had a season where the president, his last name was Hickenlooper, it would not work as a season.
No, because it just doesn't sound right.
It doesn't sound right.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't sound right. No, I don't know why. That's not fair. I understand that.
No, Hickenlooper is a grocery store in Illinois somewhere.
Now, what Politico... Hickenlooper would be a great place to get chicken cutlet.
You get those at Hickenloopers, they're the best ever.
That does feel like a grocery store. You're right. You walk into Hickenloopers, they've got great produce. It's on sale. Organic on the left. I feel like that's possible. What Politico says he's known for is he's a centrist. He's a business-oriented governor, but he led the way on gun control. And I do remember him from the gun control debate. He is super far left on that issue. So that's interesting. He is big friends, by the way, with John Kasich. Now, Kasich is not on this list,
but he wants to run.
But I mean, look, he's at least exploring a run.
Yeah, he's,
if he can justify a run, he will do it against Trump.
And he'll justify it anyway.
Probably as an independent, right?
Yeah, he said he was looking at an independent or a third party.
Yeah,
I mean, or a third. Okay, stop it, John.
Yeah, I mean, look, Kasich has no chance of winning. But also is the thought here, though, is Kasich Hickenlooper or Hickenlooper Kasich running as a unity candidate.
I want that ticket now. I do. I want. I'm voting yes to this ticket.
But the bigger question is, do you get your stakes at Kasichs or Hickenloopers? Because I feel like both of them. Okay. Jay Inslee, he's the governor of Washington. He's was a U.S. representative, currently the chairman of the Democratic Governors Association, big climate guy. That's kind of his thing. I don't think climate's a path to the White House, though.
Nope.
Al Gore could maybe answer that. But, you know, Gore had to run two terms as a VP to even get in the picture to be president. And he's really the main guy on that issue. And I just don't think you can't be a one issue guy on climate. People don't care enough. They say they care, but they don't care.
And was he that bad when he was running?
Gore?
Yeah.
Well, no, he tried to run a little bit towards...
I don't remember him being as bad as he became.
No, in fact, I remember going back and looking at his old books, and that's where a lot of the stuff you found, the really crazy stuff. It's like, oh, he wants to get rid of all cars. Right. Like, wait, all right, I don't think this is... Okay, Terry McAuliffe, big Clinton ally, former governor, or he's current governor, excuse me, of Virginia. He used to be he's a former DNC guy.
Yeah.
Real political insider, Hillary guy all the way. I think he could run... I can't imagine they go down this road. This is essentially running a male Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine that's a good idea for the Democrats. And I don't think they're going to go that way.
No, the Clintons need to be gone.
And he's basically a Clinton. Yes. He's basically a Clinton. And so I would say no.
Say the Clintons make the Democratic Party untouchable.
Yeah, we're talking about the Democratic nominees, a big list of them. Which ones do you think have a chance? Which ones are not even serious competitors? Martin O'Malley, I mean, he couldn't even win last time when there was three candidates. There's going to be 30 this time. He has no chance.
No way.
Deval Patrick, I don't think has done a good enough job as the governor of Massachusetts. He's also with Bain Capital, and he's done all sorts of stuff. He's a close Obama ally. But I feel like it's not out of the question, but I still think unlikely. We're halfway through. We still have people a bunch of big names left here in the Democratic docket. Let's go through more. 888-727 Beck is the phone number. Whew, man,
think how they feel.
I mean, this is a big list, but it's a bad list.
Yeah,
I mean, there's not a lot in here. This is not a deep bench. There's a lot of people who want to run, not a lot of people who should. We'll get back with more in those. It's Stu and Jeffy here on Black Friday for Glenn Beck on the Glenn Beck Program. We're going through the potential nominees for the 2020 election for Democrats. It's Stu and Jeffy in for Glenn Beck on the Glenn Beck Program.
We're making a little headway.
I think so. We're about halfway through the list. I was hoping to get through the whole thing in an hour, which is not realistic, apparently. let me go through these. There's another list of the mayors here. There's only a few, and I don't think any of them are huge contenders. The biggest one would be Michael Bloomberg. Does Michael Bloomberg actually have a chance? An extremist on guns. He's an extremist on the climate, for sure.
He doesn't have a chance. He's probably going to run, though, just because he likes the love that he gets.
He's been threatening this for a while. He ran as an independent, as a Republican. Now he's back to Democrat. He's registered again as Democrat. Yeah. The other thing, too, is he's got a lot of money. And that's about it.
And another thing, too, if you talk to him, he's so much smarter than we are. He knows what we want.
He is really a bad candidate. He's not good on the front of the camera. He's a lot less intelligent than he believes he is, which is a problem. It comes off. So I would say no to Bloomberg. But, I mean, any guy with billions of dollars has a shot at something like this, I guess. Let's see. The other mayors. Eric Garcetti. I'm skipping a couple here. I don't think so. He's the mayor of Los Angeles.
Right.
But again, I don't think that's going to happen. Mitch Landrieu, mayor of New Orleans. I mean, things are so good in New Orleans all the time that I can't imagine he'd want to leave anyway. But he's a Democrat from the South, so people talk about him. But no, I mean, I don't think that's really a thing. So we should go to, there's a couple more categories here. You have the Obama alums. So people from the Obama administration that are threatening runs. And threatening is kind of the right word in this context. And we have kind of the outsiders as well, and then anybody else we missed. There's also a lot of other stuff going on. I thought that today was a good day to kind of run through this and get you set up for
what's coming,
because we're going to go into the holiday season. You should start to see announcements. You'll get some of these guys will start to either announce to try to get ahead of it, like Swalwell. He will likely try to get ahead of everybody. But you'll start getting the real people, the real contenders, starting to announce in January, February, and maybe even March.
Start seeing more ads for Hickenloopers.
By the way, Hickenloopers, 2-for-1 apples today in their produce section. Make sure you go get some. Granny Smith's included at Hickenloopers. Back with more in just a second. It's Stu and Jeffy here for Glenn on the Glenn Beck program. We are going through the candidates for 2020 from the Democratic Party. And I still think there's some on this list that we have not, that are not actually included, I would say. There are people who are not, not on this list that that are potential people who could run. But we're going through this list right now from Politico. We've gone through the senators. We've gone through the congressmen. There's a few serious contenders there. A lot of pretenders, I would say, there. So let's go with this is the Obama alums.
Oh, boy.
Okay, here we go. Leading off the list, as you would expect, Joe Biden.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Biden, I think, definitely is running.
Absolutely.
The one place I would say he definitely does not have a chance to become is the vice presidential candidate. They're not going to run him again as VP. But he is the over... Now, this is hard for a lot of people to understand. He is the overwhelming favorite to win the nomination for the Democrats.
I believe that.
Early polling has him so far out ahead. The last poll they took, he was ahead by 20 points over every other competitor.
Yeah, they're mad that he didn't run last time. He most definitely is.
He definitely is. If you remember, his son sort of tragically passed away, and he was trying to figure out whether he could do it or not. His family, they consulted with the family, decided not to run. He would have been a much tougher matchup for Donald Trump than Hillary Clinton is.
Yes.
Now, again, he's going to say a lot of dumb things. He's going to have a lot of gaffes.
And he's getting up there in age too, right?
I mean, he's 75.
Woof.
But the thing about Joe is he will sit there and argue back and forth. He'll fight back. He can deal with the pressure.
It'd be fun to watch Joe and Trump on stage together.
That would be a fun one. I want Biden to run just because of that.
Yeah.
I think him and Trump on stage would be legitimately funny. They would just be insulting each other like crazy. I don't know. I think that would be entertaining to watch.
It would be fun.
I will say this. I think Republicans in general underestimate Biden in this matchup. Now, look, Biden has been a bad presidential candidate.
He got destroyed
in 2008. Was not even a blip on the radar. 2% of the vote when Obama wound up winning in that primary. And he lost even worse in 1988 when he got the plagiarism troubles and everything else. But he's been president for two terms. The Democrats look back at the Obama administration fondly, unlike reality. And I think Biden is he's the overwhelming favorite. He'd have access to a lot of that money if he decided to run. And
he knows all the little angles. I mean, he's the guy.
He knows how to work the system. I mean, he would be tough. So I think especially if the economy breaks down and goes south. There are some indicators that could be happening, but I mean, right now, economy looks pretty strong. If that continues, Donald Trump has a really good chance of winning re-election against anybody. But Biden is not the type an Elizabeth Warren, whether the economy is good or not, would have a tough time dealing with Donald Trump. Joe Biden wouldn't aesthetically. And that's a big thing for a lot of people who don't pay attention to issues. They're not going to know where any of these guys stand on anything. That's where a lot of these elections get decided. And Biden might be, I think, tougher than people realize.
Oh, he most definitely is. Yeah, and he's got the Obama muscle behind him.
Yeah.
I mean, that'll be huge in the run.
Julian Castro. Now, he was a mayor of San Antonio, was the U.S. Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. He really wants to be president. He's been talked about for a long time. I mean, I think he's another one who's running for name recognition expansion, right? Like, he's the one who's out there saying, okay, know who I am. So in 4 years, I can run. He would probably be in the conversation for VP, but he's not. I mean, the biggest thing he's had really is mayor of San Antonio. Right. And no one cares who the housing and urban development person is. No one's like, oh, I got to have that guy as my president.
Right. Plus, maybe it's just me, but I have a hard time thinking that someone with the last name Castro is going to be president of the United States.
It's a great. I will say, I remember somebody making this point really early on in 2008 and saying, the United States of America is not going to elect a person who has the name Hussein in his name.
I know.
And a guy who has one letter away from Osama in his name.
I know, but it's
and
not.
And we did twice.
It's not exactly the same, though.
It's true.
It's not exactly the same.
That's a good point. I will say, too, interesting point on because he's one of twin brothers. Would we have a situation where they could just switch off with the gig? Apparently, that was rumored to have happened in San Antonio, where his twin brother would show up to like parades and stuff.
Worst case, that's tremendous. Worst case scenario, it's a Christmas movie, right?
Yeah, at the very least, you got that going for you. All right, Hillary Clinton. Any chance she's actually running?
No way.
I think the answer to that is no. As well, I think she realizes that the speeches, the books, the interviews, all that gets diminished significantly the second she says, no, I'm not running. So keep it alive as long as she can.
She has to keep it alive. And I mean, they need the money now, right? So they're on the tour, they're writing books, she's speaking, she's out there.
Yeah, but how can they need the money? They're like billionaires at this point.
Are they? Yeah. I don't think so. I mean, maybe they are. Maybe they are. Maybe that's their net worth overall. But I mean, some of that money, we've heard reports, all kinds of reports that the foundation money has.
Well, the foundation, though, is.
But that's what they were living on.
Supposed to be different. It's supposed to be a different pile of money. Right. I don't know if it is.
Yeah, of course it is. I'm sorry. What was I thinking?
Yeah. You're not saying that they're accessing. No. Eric Holder. Now, I will say Eric Holder wants to run.
Yes, he does.
He is making a lot of signals. I don't think he would be.
He's not likable enough.
He seems like a kind of a jerk. Now, that might work early on in the campaign because you can kind of be insulting to, you know. He was saying, like, when they go low, we kick them.
Yeah.
That's his famous quote from recently.
Yeah.
Like, that attitude will appeal to some activists. It will appeal to some donors. It might give him enough to convince himself to give this a whirl.
Yeah.
But again, I don't think.
Yeah, he wants to. You're right. He wants to, though.
He's not going to come through a field like that, I don't think. Unless he's a much better politician than he seems to be. You know, because you got to be able to relate to break through. And that is, does not seem to be a strength. No. I mean, this one's a joke. John Kerry? They're not going to run John Kerry again, are they?
Stop it.
I mean, I would love it.
I mean, what? Kerry is what now, 95?
He's only 74.
Oh, sorry.
He's like the youngest guy on this list.
He actually is.
Like, wow, we got somebody only in their early to mid-70s? Wow. No, Kerry's 74. Obviously, he was Secretary of State. I don't think there's any chance.
No way.
Okay.
He's already run and lost, right? I mean, it's already done. We're through with him.
Yes. If he was going to run again, probably the year would have been 2008. Right? Like, I mean, this is before we knew about Barack Obama. If he was going to run again, he would have had to do it in 2008. And it's over now, I think. Okay. The Outsiders is this next group. Michael Avenatti. No. Michael Avenatti, he may run, but he's a joke.
No.
And the Democrats now hate him. I don't know if anyone's noticed this. The second he was no longer useful, you know, the Stormy Daniels thing doesn't seem to be happening anymore. Now he's been accused of assault.
Yeah.
They are like, so they don't have to blame people like Cory Booker and Kamala Harris. They're blaming Michael Avenatti for the Kavanaugh thing falling apart. And he was certainly a part of it. But let's be honest about it. They were all awful.
They sure were.
It wasn't just him.
They sure were. But they're finding it awful easy to throw it all on him.
Mm-hmm. Mark Cuban is a list on the Outsiders. Now, Cuban is interesting in that he's not really a Democrat. He's not really a Republican. I've heard him say he's a libertarian. He's not really a libertarian at all. He thinks he can beat Trump. I think he is the type that could stand up to the sort of the pressure that Donald Trump brings. He's been in this world.
I think so too, but I don't know that he is strong enough to, he might be strong enough to get the nomination if he got through all that. Maybe, but I don't think he stands up to Trump well.
I think he would. I think because
really?
he can do the same types of things Trump can do, right? He could say sort of the outlandish thing. He can be insulting. He's a reality star too, right? They're both reality stars. I mean, certainly there's something just about the United States having an election where it's just reality star versus reality star. That is pretty much what we should have at this point.
That's what you're right.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense.
It does.
In America. It does. But I think that there is a, there's an outside possibility for his side to commit to this.
I feel like what I've read and what I've heard, I mean, I feel like he's the kind of guy that he really wants to. You know, despite him, well, you know, I got the family and I got the TV. I think I get the feeling in other interviews that he really wants to. He feels like he can.
I feel like he thinks I should have been Trump. I think that's what he thinks. I think Cuban looks at this and says, wait a minute, why did I let this guy go out there and win the presidency? If I would have run, I would have been able to do it too.
Right.
I could do this. I think he thinks that way. And I think he would like to go one. I think he thinks he could beat Trump one-on-one. Getting through a Democratic primary for Mark Cuban does not seem plausible to me.
It's a long haul.
I've said this before, but far more impressive than beating Hillary Clinton for Donald Trump was winning the primary. It was much, much more impressive than beating. I mean, honestly, I think you could have picked any one of 50 candidates on the Republican side that could have beaten Hillary Clinton in a one-on-one battle.
Yeah, we said
it was the primary that was impressive. Yeah. And, you know, beating, I mean, he beat a lot of good candidates.
Sure did.
From the Republican side in that primary. I mean, they had 17, probably six or seven of them were pretty freaking good candidates.
No doubt about it.
And he beat them all. Beating, anytime you get to a one-on-one situation, anything can happen in those races because a major event, you know, I mean, think of it. If Hillary, if let's say the Hillary Clinton was behind by 5 or 6 points and the tape of Donald Trump on the bus happened 3 or 4 days before the election rather than a month.
Right.
Hillary, maybe I'll be able to make that up, right? Like, anything can happen in those last seconds. McCain had no chance of beating Barack Obama with the economic collapse happening a month before the election. There was no chance of it. And anything like that can happen. When you get into a one-on-one, that's why it's dangerous if a socialist does come out of the Democratic primary. If you get, let's say, a Bernie Sanders acolyte, right, that comes out of that.
Okay.
If there's an economic collapse a month before, that socialist will win, and then you're in real trouble.
And he looks, yeah.
You know, because they'll pick anybody other than the party in power at that point. Okay, here's another one. Howard Schultz.
Oh, boy, he wants to run.
It does seem like he wants to. CEO of Starbucks, if you don't know that story. He built that company. It was a coffee store that did not sell cups of coffee when he took it over. They just sold the beans so you could go home and make it yourself. Think about that. They turned it into, obviously, one of the biggest companies in the world. He is they describe him as a relatively business-friendly Democrat. Obviously, he comes from a CEO. He's very wealthy, could spend a lot of money. You know, I don't know. Is it possible?
Sure.
He's much more possible than the next guy, I think, which is Tom Steyer. Steyer, we talked about a little bit last week, or earlier this week. He is another billionaire guy. Big time climate activist, made his money. And he's kind of like he's like a George Soros type of character, big time donor to progressive causes, has been putting his face on TV constantly to try to get Trump impeached.
And I will say, Tom Steyer has now become famous because our own Pat Gray has said that if he were to get the nomination, that he would eat his underwear.
Eat his underwear. All right. That's the latest one. Now, I don't know why he would say that because Tom Steyer in his platform has guaranteed health. So if you're sick right now, you will be healed if Tom Steyer is elected president. He's guaranteeing health.
Then I want Pat to be able to eat his underwear.
Right. I mean, look, if you have a sick relative, you're thinking to myself, look, I don't like the tax policy, but if he can make everyone healthy,
right,
seems like a good platform.
I'm in love with Tom Steyer.
Not sure how he would pull that one off exactly, but I think he wants to run too.
Yeah.
And I would not be surprised to see an early announcement for him because people don't really know who he is despite his efforts.
So if he beats everybody to the punch, he gets coverage.
He gets his coverage and he'll have money. He has billions and billions of dollars to dump into advertising to get you to know who he is.
Right.
And there is an argument to be made. Anybody who will commit to that has a chance. I personally believe in this day and age, you can't buy an election like that. You can't. I mean, people are like, well, Donald Trump. Yeah, Donald Trump spent no money.
He spent no money.
He won an election with almost, he disproved the point.
He sure did.
All he was a person who was covered by the news media.
He used the election to make himself money because he did events, everything that charged back to the Trump hotels.
there's definitely an argument about that. But I mean, he got a lot of free media because people, the media is and continues to be completely obsessed with him as a person, completely obsessed with him. They were obsessed with him in New York on the media there when it was only a local situation.
Yeah.
And now they are absolutely obsessed with him to the point that they will overturn longstanding beliefs.
It's embarrassing how much they cover this guy for the hatred.
It's true.
It's embarrassing.
It's true. And, you know, I've become obsessed with the idea that because of the way we deal with politics right now, so often we allow these debates to control the decisions that we make. And it's not just us, but it's everybody. You know, the media is a perfect example here. The media has been aligned with the unions and aligned with people like Bernie Sanders for decades to get tariffs passed. They want to a protectionist trade policy to go away from these right-wing lunatics like Ronald Reagan.
Great example.
And, you know, Barry Goldwater and Milton Friedman and all of these people who have been preaching free trade for 50 years. And the media has been on the opposite side of that battle the entire time saying, no, unions are important. Now, mind you, a lot of them are on television as members of unions telling you how important unions are. And they're saying unions are important. We need tariffs. We need protectionism. The Democratic platform has been about that for decades. The second Donald Trump supports tariffs, they all turn into Milton Friedman. You've never seen a more pro-free trade group of people than the mainstream media today, who will tell you every argument Reagan made about free trade. They'll all tell you how it's so much better if you got, there's an economic consensus about, from economists. They'll go crazy telling you how great free trade is only because Donald Trump opposes it. And again, you know, opposes is a strong, but he's certainly a protectionist. He's raised, you know, tariffs by over 100% from previous levels. And they're, you know, if his other proposals are going through, it could be 500-700% before this is over.
Amazing.
But forget all that for a second. The media is allowing themselves, and the Democratic Party is allowing themselves, and unions and all these other groups are allowing themselves to have their opinions formed by the fact that Donald Trump has his opinion. They're basing their beliefs on just opposing what he believes. That is never a good idea. No. And I think Steyer is a great example of that, right? Like, he is just an anti-Trump. No matter what Trump is, he's the opposite. And whether that works in the election, I think it might. In the primary, I don't know that it works overall.
Yeah.
Any thought, Shot, before we leave here, this the last couple on this list, The
but you
Rock
say that. You say Oprah. That, you know, but the thing is that all of these people that we've named are just against Trump.
Yes, there's very
little. So I don't know where you draw the line of who's more against Trump.
Right. So, the exception of some of the socialist candidates who really have an actual worldview, right? Like Bernie Sanders has not changed his opinion on tariffs. He still loves them. Right. Like, so right. There are a few of those ideological people who are like that. I think the socialists are really the main ones. And that's why they're the scariest ones, because if you get a one on one, there's enough people who just don't like Trump, generally speaking, or if an event happens, the economy goes bad, they might elect one of these guys. And so you kind of hope that just a quote unquote normal Democrat comes through that process, because
good luck.
You don't want it to be a one on one. Any shot? You think Oprah has any shot of running?
No.
Or The Rock? No. Right. Anybody else to think? We talked about Kasich being on that list.
He's going to run.
He's probably going to run
as
an independent.
Anywhere?
He has no chance.
No.
Anyone else you can think of that was left off there?
I mean, we don't.
I thought Michelle Obama should be on the list.
Yeah.
And I think she's certainly more likely than Oprah, I think.
But
she just came out with a big retrospective book.
She is more likely than Oprah, although I think that Michelle is, I don't know. She might, if they're doing testing, I don't know how good she tests.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Plus, I think if Biden's in, she's not. So that's another thing. So, all right, 888-727-BECK is the phone number. Back with more here in just a moment on the Glenn Beck Program. If you're doing some of your shopping for Christmas, so we've got a good place for you to go.
Shop.theblaze.com is where you need to go. Shop.theblaze.com. You can get all kinds of Blaze merchandise. And if you use the offer code BLACKFRIDAY20, 20% off. So today's the day to buy your Blaze products. You can get, who wants a Pat Unleashed cup when you can have a Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher coffee cup? At 20% off, that's a deal.
Very
Shop.theblaze.com.
Cool. We should point out that's the name of your podcast, of course, Jeffy. Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher. You can get it every day on wherever your podcasts are sold for free.
That's correct.
As well as Pat Unleashed as well. We're going to point out, too, the tour is coming up. Let's give away another pair of tickets if you happen to be in Tampa or Orlando. Where are our Orlando peeps at? I think all the tickets we've given away
Tampa.
So far have been Tampa ones. Let's see some activity from Orlando here.
Where are you at? Step up.
All right. 888-727-BECK is the phone number. Call right now if you'd like to go to that tickets, to go to that show. It is next week, November 30th or December 1st in Florida. GlennBeck.com/tour for all the details. Give us a call now. We're giving away free tickets. Back in just a second. 888-727-BECK is the phone number. We're giving away tickets to our shows in Florida. GlennBeck.com/tour is the place to go to buy tickets. You can get those. Those are great presents for the holidays. Tampa, November 30th. Orlando, December 1st. That's a week from today is November 30th. Wow. So it's coming up soon. If you happen to be in that area, we'd love to see you there. Let's go to Chuck in Florida. Chuck, welcome to the Glenn Beck Program.
Good afternoon. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm a longtime fan.
Oh, thank you so much for that. We appreciate it. Where are you located?
We're in Sefner.
Okay.
Sefner, Florida, right outside of Tampa.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you want to join us in Tampa on Friday?
Yes, sir.
I mean, you don't want to drive to Orlando? What's the problem?
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense, right? About 3 hour delay.
I will say, and this is true for anybody in the audience, you can always drive to Jeffy's house and just hang out outside, and he'll always pop out and do a little show for you. So,
well, that's true.
Maybe a little barbecue or something.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about. Thank you.
All right, you're in. Chuck, welcome to the Tampa show. We'll see you there on Friday. Thanks so much for listening all this time. We do appreciate it. I mean, Tampa was the origin of this particular program, and we love Tampa. So thanks so much. We appreciate it. Let's go to Darren in Florida as well. Darren, welcome to the Glenn Beck program.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Oh, pretty good.
Good. You want to go to one of the shows too?
I sure would.
Which one are you looking to get into?
Well, I live in Orlando, so obviously I would be like, I'd like to go to Tampa.
Okay.
I mean, it makes perfect sense.
Perfect sense.
And how much are tickets to Jeffy's house?
Believe me, he usually will pay you to come watch him. That's one of the weird things about him.
Well, if I can go to Orlando and Jeffy's house, I'm in.
You may have to purchase some items once you're there.
All right, Orlando. I'd love to give a little love to Orlando, one of our first affiliates as well.
Yeah.
Orlando, you're in for the Orlando show again, December 1st. Glenbeck.com/tour is the place to go. Thanks so much for the call, Darren, and we'll get you into that one. A lot of people say to me when I'm at these tour events, Jeffy, we do the little meet and greets before, and we talk to people, and one of the questions that comes up fairly often is, why are you so mean to Jeffy? And I always am shocked by that, because I always feel like our moments together are the best parts of your day.
Oh, thank you
so much. The rest of your life is obviously...
I'm so happy that you feel that way.
Mm-hmm. It's true. I can see it in your face. The rest of your day is just a complete cluster.
Know, yeah.
But,
yeah. But not here, though.
Not here. This is the happy point of your day.
I know.
And to prove this point, I have selected some stories just specifically for you.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, I knew you were going to be on today. And I thought there'd be a few Jeffy stories that we should go through.
There are a few. There's always a few. That's why we do Chewing the Fat every day.
Every day. You get the podcast. These are my submissions for your Chewing the Fat. Some possibilities of stories. I like this one a lot. A pilot was on a flight recently, and he had a special guest on the flight.
Okay.
Olivia Munn.
Ooh.
Now, Olivia Munn is known to be a fairly attractive female. Actress, and I don't know. I think she's some. I don't know what else she does. Didn't she like doing something with gaming or something at the beginning? I don't remember. But Olivia Munn, she's pretty hot. I guess is how I would summarize that.
Yes, she is.
Also happened to be the pilot's free pass in his marriage. Now, some people
so
do
nice.
This.
I mean, every marriage does it, Stu. I don't know why you see some people. It's all every marriage has a free pass deal.
You're gonna be shocked to hear that's not actually true.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think. I'm pretty sure that is not true.
Whatever you say.
We all understand what a free pass is, right? The concept being that, hey, look, we are married and you have to be loyal to this marriage. But if you happen to bump into Olivia Munn on a flight,
I'll let you
can do it without repercussions.
It's okay.
Now, it's always been interesting, and I don't know if there's an actual real world test of this. Has there ever been an actual use of one of these free passes, and how did that work out? Because let's just say you have a free pass to hook up with Olivia Munn. You hook up with Olivia Munn. Does your wife actually honor this earlier
promise?
Well,
she has to. What do you mean does? She has to. It's the rule.
I just don't think it would happen. I feel like
part of the deal.
I feel like there might be a little seller's remorse on that one.
I can't believe you actually did that.
Right. And you feel like it would be somewhat justified. I think you did promise to God and everything else that you wouldn't do such things,
except for the free pass.
I don't know if God would honor the free pass, but who knows? We stranger things have happened.
I'm willing to wait and ask him.
So this Olivia Munn actually gets on his flight and he texts his wife, and he says, "You're not going to believe this. Olivia Munn's on this flight, and of course she's my free pass."
Right,
and the wife jokingly says, "Oh my gosh, you have to get a picture of her, or picture her, it didn't happen." Now that's first indication to me that she would not actually honor.
It was a joke to them as a specialist, never going to happen, and that the free pass is just the selfie with her, and you got to say hello.
Right. So yes,
not really showing up and taking her up into the front of the plane.
No, I don't think the wife would be like, "Oh, that's silly. Go talk to her." If she thought it was the real situation, right? So
that's just so wrong.
So this goes viral because the text exchange goes viral, and he essentially chickens out and doesn't even go talk to her.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, later on, Olivia Munn finds out about this and tweets and says, oh, you should have come up and talked to me and should have taken a picture with me. I would have totally taken a picture with you.
Would you?
Now, maybe she would have taken a picture, but that has not what the free pass is.
No.
The free pass is not a selfie pass. It's not a pass to go get a nice picture with
the
actress.
No, but the idea is you get a selfie and then you start a conversation and then you realize that, you know, you're my free pass, so
let's go. As a man, Jeffy, if you have a free pass situation and let's say your free pass is Olivia Munn, respectfully, of course, you got to at least try it, right?
You have to at least ask.
If it's real. Now, I mean, there's a jokey one, and maybe if it's joking, you're not going to do it.
You have to.
But if it's real, you have to at least take the opportunity to ask.
Yes.
Now, I think in this world, in the Me Too world, you probably go to prison for 100 years for asking.
No, you get the selfie and you say, ha, 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 you know, my wife and I have a free pass deal. You're mine.
You didn't even say it to me, and I feel like I want to send you to prison. You're mine. It sounded like you were about to take her hostage. Are you going to hurt these women? Is that what's happening here? Because I think I feel like you have to give it a whirl in that spot. I mean,
you have to. And then, look, there's no chance that Olivia says, oh, my gosh, okay.
Yes. It would be. That would be an amazing story.
Oh, my gosh. Right.
You're right. I don't think there's much of a chance of her saying yes to this.
Anyone that's your free pass is your free pass only in your mind. Right? I mean, you're saying, hey, you were my free pass, ha, ha, ha. And you take the selfie with Olivia or whoever that is. But that is still has to say, oh, I'm your free pass? Oh, lucky me.
Right. That's the thing. I would never enter into this sort of situation because, like, I would be in, like, my wife, I married up quite a bit. And there'd actually be danger. She has her own radio show, and she works with celebrities. She might actually be able to get one of these guys. And plus, the guy thing's a lot easier.
Yes.
Right? Like, so this is not a good deal for guys. You're never hooking up with your free pass.
Correct. And she probably could. Absolutely.
If she feels like
100%.
It. 100%. So this is a danger area. This is a warning here on Black Friday.
That's a good point.
Yes. Don't go into the free pass thing.
Before I made the deal.
So you have a free pass, I'm sure.
Who
would it be? Who's your free pass?
No, you're not getting that out of me.
Well, you're on a national radio show. Maybe they'll hear about it. Maybe they'll tweet it. And they'll say, hey, I would be happy to take a selfie with you.
I can't remember their name.
Okay, I thought so. Because you wouldn't do anything. You would not do anything, as
we
know.
Oh, my gosh.
As we know. So I would say this guy really is a failure. You got to at least, you need to get the picture, but you need to at least politely inquire. Just want to just inform you of my personal arrangement. I know this doesn't affect you. But just to let you know that you're currently you've currently could have a slice of this if you wanted it, and I just want to make you aware of that. Now, it's not going to work, but I feel like you have to have the story at that point. Okay, another specifically curated story for Jeffy, because I'm so nice to you.
Of course, you
are. There was a terrorist threat that happened at a chicken place.
Right now you've made me angry. I mean, why is it? Terrorists is starting to affect chicken places.
Yeah.
This country has gone down.
Well, this one's a little bit different. Arthur Posey's a 30-year-old. He was booked on charges in connection to a bomb threat after his story.
So he was arrested for this?
Yes.
Okay.
It was in New Orleans. It was at a Willie's Chicken Shack. People heard him talking about blowing up the restaurant, or at least part of it, at the Canal Street restaurant. And... I had an interesting excuse.
I mean, I understand.
No.
If he's threatening to blow up the place.
Like, what if they didn't give you enough chicken?
Yeah.
Okay. No, that's not what this is about.
Okay.
He has a specific excuse. According to the warrant, the restaurant's manager said a man, later identified as Posey, went into the restaurant and approached the food preparation area, then asked her what time the restaurant closed. She told the man she did not know when the restaurant closed, the manager told police. The manager stated the man, who wore a green hat, blue jacket, and carried a white bag, said, y'all about to close right now because I'm going to get a bomb and blow this place up. You're laughing, so but that's a little serious.
Scary. That's a little scary.
It's a serious threat.
Absolutely scary.
The manager told police she took the threat very seriously, as I think most people would.
Yes, absolutely. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to smile.
Notified the general manager, who instructed her to call police, and they did, and they got this guy arrested. Now, his excuse, I think, was very interesting, and this is why I brought the story up, because in reference to you. Posey claimed to the officer, when he was confronted about this, that he told a male employee he was going to blow the bathroom up in reference to a bowel movement.
Okay, A. How does a girl not know what time the restaurant? She's working there. How does the girl does not know what time the restaurant closes?
Well, I don't know the answer to that. I don't know.
But she's still employed there by calling the bosses, saying somebody's claiming to trying to blow up the place. Call the police.
I don't know why you're focusing on this.
How do the police actually arrest this guy? Although I've been pulled over by New Orleans police before in my life.
Shocking.
And they're fine officers.
Okay.
Fine
good,
officers.
Good to know.
I can understand how they would arrest someone making the about to blow this place up.
Blow the bathroom up? I mean, who is that? Not to mention, what a repulsive thing to say inside of a restaurant to somebody. Like, I mean, it's always a just a gross reference.
It is.
But to say it, you know, in a
you're about
in a
to
restaurant
close
line,
now.
Yeah. So they, by the way, they didn't believe him. It's the way this ended. They think he actually did make a terrorist threat, and he's his cover story is the bathroom thing.
Did he have explosive devices and stuff on him in
no,
the bag
it
or
does
anything?
Not, it does not appear that he actually was going to bomb the thing. But you can make a bomb threat and get him in trouble for it without actually bombing somebody. There are bomb threats. You're not supposed to make bomb threats, right? So that is, I guess, what they're saying he did. And
that's kind of bad.
I don't know how they could check to see. You know, I mean, I don't want to know.
I have a pretty good idea.
Okay.
Pretty good idea how you would check.
We have another development in the social credit system score in China. That's this story we've been talking about for a while. You're kind of a big privacy guy.
I want to be. I like to pretend I am.
Yes.
Because, look, we all have computers that have cameras on, and do we put the tape over the camera that are looking at us? No.
I do.
Do you?
I do. I have one of those little sliding things that cover the camera on my computer. That's about as far as I'm going to go with
okay.
it.
Okay. All right. Because you have a phone that you carry around with you all day.
And I don't have it on that.
Do anything with that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I want to be. And, my, you know, I have a phone that I can watch stuff on my TV and watch stuff on my phone. And I want to be, I'm not going to give any DNA to any place. But just put the chip in me.
All right.
Be done with it. All right. Just be done. That's about where I'm at.
We'll get into where that attitude is leading us in just a moment. 888-727-BECK is the phone number for you to call. It's Stu and Jeffy in for Glenn on the Glenn Beck program. 888-727-BECK is the phone number. I'll give you one more pair of tickets here to
right,
Tampa or Orlando. Give us a call. 888-727-BECK. Our shows are next week. GlennBeck.com/tour. Tampa, November 30th. Orlando, December 1st. Go and buy tickets if you can't win these last pair. We'd love to see you there. So we were talking about the invasion of privacy.
Yeah.
And Jeffy being kind of wanting to be a
privacy
guy.
But yeah. We've given up on it.
The new Facebook thing they've put in there now is like a screen with a camera that's just on all the time.
Yeah.
I think it was Charlie Warzel from BuzzFeed who called it an in-home panopticon, which is like, if you know that reference, like it's one of the early designs of prisons, and like you don't want to put that in your home, but people are like, oh, sure, I'll put it in my home.
Doesn't matter, that'd be cool.
Here's what China is doing with this sort of stuff. They have a social credit system. And we've talked about this many times, just like what's on Black Mirror in that one episode where you know you have a bad interaction with the government or another person, you lower your social credit score, they start taking things away. We're finally getting the first results of what's been implemented so far. Remember, the whole thing isn't until 2020 where they actually implemented. According to the state-run news outlet Global Times, again, these are their numbers. As of May of this year, the government had blocked 11.14 million people from flights. 11.14 million people from flights and 4.25 million people from taking high-speed train trips.
Wow.
Holy crap.
Amazing. Now, that sounds like a lot, though, but they've got like 100 billion people in China, so it's only a small percentage.
They do have a lot of people. That's true. We'll give you here. They have done banned 3 million people from buying business class train tickets that wanted to buy business class.
That's
That's already.
It sure is.
It's not even fully implemented yet. This is incredible.
It sure is. We're not going to have time to talk to Dana in Orlando, but, I mean, Glenn's not here, so just give her the tickets.
I'll just give her the tickets anyway. Yeah, I'll totally give her the tickets.
Go to the show, Dana.
Nice. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you Monday. Have a good weekend.